We are going to do a little bit of an exercise this morning. Let's rise up. I'm going to say I'm going to tell us how we're going to clap. So we're going to start clapping. Let's clap with one finger, please. Let's clap with one finger. Praise the Lord. One finger. Just keep clapping. One finger. One finger. Amen. Good. Two. Two fingers. Clap with two fingers. Three. Four. Four fingers. Four fingers. Four fingers. Four fingers. Yes. Four fingers. Okay. Five fingers. Six fingers. Seven. Eight. Nine. Ten. Louder. Louder. Praise the Lord. Heaven, we applaud you. I say, heaven, we applaud you. Father, we thank you for this wonderful moment. Because you have sent your word to heal us and to deliver us from our destructions. Even as we hear your word this morning, my prayer is that heaven will start to applaud us in the mighty name of Jesus. Because our lives will never, never be the same again. We will genuinely know you. And as we know you, that will become exhibited in every facet of our lives. Thank you, because your word will refine us this morning and will turn us out to be like gold. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name, I pray. Please be seated. God bless you. This morning, the title of my message is, Who is Applauding You? Who is applauding you? Who is applauding you? I'm going to start with a quote from one of the speeches of Martin Luther King Jr. And I will then apply it to our life as Christians. And I read, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politics? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? Conscience asks the question, is it of good conscience? Now, I will add my own. Righteousness asks the question, does it please God? Who is applauding you? And I want us to take the title of this message in line with the statement by Martin Luther King Jr. and look at our Christian lives in the light of that and how we live it. And look at, it's not just Christian life, our lives in totality and how we live it. And ask, who is applauding us? And ask, what is the motivating factor? Is it cowardice, expediency, vanity, conscience, righteousness. What is the driving force behind the way we live our lives? I went with the kids to the Royal Show. And I want to let you know, I'm not the one, the type that will easily let the kids outdo me. When they climb, roller coaster, I'm there. I have the fun too. When they watch this, I'm watching too. When they climb all those things, I'm climbing. We are doing it together. And then we got to this place. We saw a large number of people standing in a circle. And there was a man in the midst of these people. And he will ask people to applaud him. And they will applaud him even before he performed any show at all. And finally, when the show came, the people around him did what? Applauded him for some of the daring things he was doing. And that sort of made him feel so good that he chose to do a bit more tricks. Applaud is very good. When you are recognized for the things you do, it's good. It makes it, you know, it makes you feel good. But we just need to be careful that it is not the motivating factor for what we do. And I want to let you know that some applauds, the loudest applaud is actually silent. Open with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Remember that today is our healing service, and that we're going to be praying for some people. So I follow his promise. I will tell you 12:30, and we don't make 12:30. Let me not promise, but we'll work hard towards it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 is a very popular verse. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth. Who are they? The witnesses that have borne testimony to the truth. Let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which do so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patience, endurance, and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. I don't need to tell us once again that we are running a race. And we are told that there are witnesses. And I want to let us know that there are two kinds of witnesses that are watching us as we run the race that has been set before us. This morning we are told that heaven and earth is a witness. Again, you can divide this heaven and earth witnesses into two groups. There are the people who know the truth, and there are the people who don't know the truth. That is, they have not come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And these are two groups of witnesses that are watching you and I. In other words, these two groups of witnesses applaud us. Do you know that there are some witnesses that when they hear you go out and talk about how terrible churches are, how terrible Christians are, how bad we are, how bad we are doing, and things like that. There are some witnesses that will applaud you. Because that is what they expect anyway. But I want to let you know that the witnesses that matter, or the applause of the witness that matters, is often very silent. When the host of heaven choose to applaud you, and when the people whom God has revealed his mind to choose to applaud you, because they will be in agreement with the host of heaven, that is what God, that is what counts. In other words, when we live our life to please God, and the basis for doing what we do is because we want to please him, heaven will applaud us. Earthly witnesses have limitations. And we know that heavenly witness has no limitation, because he sees everything, including the motivation for our behaviors, for the way we live our lives, for the things we do. And I will just quickly take you through something that will make you want to have heaven applaud you. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 39. I will read quickly. Genesis 39, verse 10 to 21. It's a very popular story. We all know the story. But let's look at its application to what we are talking about. And I'm going to read from verse 10. She spoke to Joseph day after day, but he did not listen to her to lie with her or to be with her. Then it happened about this time that Joseph went into the house to attend to his duties. And none of the men of the house were indoors. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled away, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "Behold, he, your master, has brought in a Hebrew to us to mock and insult us. He came in where I was to lie with me, and I screamed at the top of my voice. And when he heard me screaming and crying, he left his garment with me and fled and got out of the house. And she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. Then she told him the same story, saying, 'The Hebrew servant whom you brought among us came to me to mock and insult me. And when I screamed and cried, he left his garment with me and fled out of the house.' And when Joseph's master heard the words of his wife saying to him, 'This is the way your servant treated me,' his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the state prisoners were confined. So he was there in the prison." Verse 21. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and loving kindness and gave him favor in the sight of the warden of the prison." You will remember the story that Potiphar's wife has always been at the neck of Joseph, demanding that he lived an ungodly life. Joseph wanted to be applauded by heaven. And that was why he told the woman, "Look, if I do this, I will be sinning against heaven. My master entrusts me with virtually everything in this house except you. How can I do this great wickedness against heaven?" Not just against my master, but against heaven. "I want heaven to applaud me. I want heaven to stand for me. I want heaven to welcome me home. Therefore, I am not going to do what you are asking me to do. Joseph was not waiting for the applause of men, but was waiting for the applause of heaven. If he was waiting for the applause of men, he would have done exactly what the master's wife wanted. And I want to let you know today that the best way to enter into a man's heart is through his wife. If Joseph had done what the woman wanted, he would have, even if Joseph wanted the man dead, the woman would have ensured it. And Joseph would probably have inherited the house and inherited the woman as well. And people would have applauded him that this is a slave who came in and he was able to take charge of the master's house and the wife too. Who is applauding you? There's a limitation to what man can see. And therefore, man will applaud you on the basis of what they can see. But is heaven applauding you? When Stephen was going to be stoned to death, you know what happened? The Bible said he looked up. He saw heaven open and he saw who standing? Jesus was standing. He had a standing ovation from heaven. You and I can have standing ovation from heaven. And as long as we stick together, you are going to get it in the mighty name of Jesus. I say, look, we are going to motivate each other. We will get it in the mighty name of Jesus. In verse 21, the Bible makes us to understand that God did something in the life of Joseph. He gave him favor. He gave him mercy. If heaven is the one applauding you, he will prepare the way for you wherever you have to go as a result of your stance and your position. Heaven has not stopped witnessing for or against people. Heaven will witness for you in Jesus' name. You know, another name of God is Jehovah Sabaoth. That means the Lord of hosts. What is a host? It's a company of soldiers. A company is usually about 50, but it's more than a company. When you say the Lord of hosts, which means the heaven and his army. So if heaven is applauding for you, it's not just God, it's the host of heaven applauding you. It's so wonderful to have heaven applaud us. Why would heaven be able to applaud some people and not some people? Because heaven has what? Heaven has a record. Open with me to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 14. Heaven has a record. If heaven has no record, heaven will not know who to applaud and who not to applaud. But because heaven has a record, it should be one major thing, major driving force that will lead us or direct us to do the things we do in our lives as children of the Most High God. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 14. He said, then I saw a great white throne and the one who was seated upon it, from whose presence and from the sight of whose face earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, great and small, they stood before the throne, and books were open. What were open? Books. What do you do in books? You write. In other words, heaven's records were opened. When heaven's record is open, it will be to your favor in the mighty name of Jesus. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, sentenced by what they had done, their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors. in accordance with what was recorded in the books. What a powerful book. What a powerful book. That had the record of my intents. That had the record of my motivations. That had the record of my attitudes. That had the record of my feelings. That had the records of my movement. That had the record of my going out. That had the record of my coming in. The Bible said, those records were open. And the sea deliver up the dead who are in it. Death and hate, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrender the dead in them. And all were tried, and their cases determined by what they had done according to their motives, aims, and works. Then death and hate, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Heaven has a record of everything that we do, every motivation, every action, every attitude, everything about us. And the Bible makes us to understand that on that day, it does not matter whether we die by air disaster. You will not die by air disaster in Jesus' name. It does not matter whether by fire. It does not matter whether you enter into water and you drown. It does not matter whether you slept on your bed and did not wake up. By the way, let me tell us something. 2 days ago, a friend from America called me and told me that a young man who had been our old friend, he's probably about 4 or 5 years younger than me. They say he slept and he did not wake up. For him, he cannot alter the record anymore. For him, the record is finished. Full stop has been put in front of it. For you and I, comma is still in front of our records. There's opportunity to write, to have a better recording. There's opportunity for change. There's opportunity for something to be different. Honestly, he's younger than me. Not that he was hit by a vehicle. He just slept. He didn't wake up. Look, let me tell you something. This is something you don't have control over. He couldn't do anything in his sleep. He just slept. He didn't wake up. And if the record of heaven is open now, what will they find for him? What would they find for me? What would they find for you? What is, why do we even have to keep a record in the first place? Why, you know, do we keep records? Because we know that memory fails. But the memory of heaven cannot fail because it keeps records. We keep memory for moments savored. Let me tell you something. Every one of us, when we look back to our past, there are some wonderful memories we want to relive and relive and relive again. There are some memories we would rather not want to even ever entertain again. Memories are also kept. I mean, records are also kept to know who did what. To find out what was done. And to give reward. Heaven will reward you in Jesus' name. You know that heaven has a file on you. Do you know that? That heaven has a file on you. Open to Job chapter 16, verse 19. Heaven has a file on me. It's been written and rewritten. It's been added to. It's been built up. It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Job 16 verse 19. What does it say? Even now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and he vouches for me. And he who vouches for me is on high. Another version says, Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. I like that version. So there's a record about you on high. There is a record about me on high. There is a record somewhere. And that has to be the driving force. It is not who applauds you or who does not applaud you. It is the record that has been kept on your behalf. My sister said something. She said, look, if you are given something to do, if you find yourself, God has called you to do something, do it with all your strength because there is a record. Husband, there's a record for you as to how you treat your wife. Wife, there's a record for you as to how you treat your husband. Friend, there's a record for you as to how you treat your friends. It is not what you tell people. It doesn't matter. Look, a lot of times when we have to talk to people, we say so that they can applaud us that we have tried our best. In the final analysis, it doesn't matter at all. It will count for nothing whether people approve of what you have done or not. It will matter for nothing whether people approve of where you stand or not. What will matter is the record of heaven concerning you. Because heaven and earth bears what? Bears record. Bears witness. And that has to be the driving force. There's something we often say as Christians. We say, oh, we lead somebody to the Lord. As we lead people to the Lord, what is on our record? When you lead people to the Lord, heaven writes it down. When you take people away from the Lord, heaven writes it down. When you destabilize a family, heaven writes it down. When you build up a family, heaven writes it down. When you encourage somebody, heaven writes it down. When you bring somebody down, heaven writes it down. When you praise somebody, heaven writes it down. When you are sarcastic, heaven writes it down. When you are genuine, heaven has a record. When you are insincere, heaven has a record. He said, let's read it again. 16 verse 19. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is where? On high. Your record is on high. What would the record say about you? You may not know. I parade myself as pastor. Maybe I even have two homes. Maybe I have a concubine somewhere. Half of my salary goes to that house. One quarter goes to my family. And the remaining one quarter to my whatever other passions are. Heaven has a record. People may not know. And I will come here and you say, oh, good morning, pastor. And I say, void, I enjoyed. Pastor, heaven has a record. No, it's true. You come to me for help, and it's indeed within my power to help you. I say, look, brother, oh, I've just had a big expenses on my house, you know. And I've just done this, and I've just done that. And truly, I know that it is within my power to help you. And I don't help you. Heaven has a record as well. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. So who is applauding you? Men will only applaud you on the basis of what they know, and there's a limitation to what man knows. But when heaven applauds you, heaven will applaud you on the basis of what heaven knows, and heaven knows everything. Because the psalmist says, he said, when I enter into the deep, you are with me. When I'm in the darkness, you are with me. When I climb onto the top, the highest mountain, the Lord, you are with me. When I go down to the valley, Lord, you are with me. Wherever we go, in the dead of the night, the Lord is with you. And so what a complete record heaven can keep. And if heaven writes that you are his faithful servant, that is what matters. He said, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto you. In other words, Paul is also saying that heaven keeps a record. Philippians chapter 1 verse 8, just to let you know that heaven keeps a record. Philippians 1 verse 8. If pride is my driving force, heaven keeps a record. It could be fear. Heaven keeps a record. Fear of losing respect. Fear of people thinking less of me. Fear of this. Heaven keeps a record. Whatever the motivation is, it's telling us that heaven keeps a record. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Again, it's about record. He is my... Another one will say witness. Another version will say what? Witness. Heaven is my witness. Acts chapter 10 verse 1 to 4. You know I like that story very much. Acts chapter 10. Verse 1 to 4. Another record. Another witness. He said, now, living at Caesarea, there was a man whose name was Cornelius, a centurion, captain of what was known as the Italian regiment, a devout man who venerated God, that he respected God and treated him with reverential obedience. With what type of obedience? Reverential obedience to the Lord. As did all his household, and he gave much alms to the people and prayed continually to God. About the 9th hour, about 3 p.m. of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God entering and saying to him, Cornelius. And he, gazing intently at him, became frightened and said, what is it, Lord? And the angel said to him, your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice to God and have been remembered by him. Maybe another version says, and when he looked at him, on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. In other words, has come up for a record before God. The reason why God will intervene in somebody's life could be because of the record you have in heaven. The reason God will intervene in your life will be because of the record you have in heaven. The reason God will send you to somewhere will be because of the record you have in heaven. The reason God will position you somewhere will be because of the record you have in heaven. If heaven says, how do I know this? The Bible says, Jesus was talking to his disciples, or talking to the people around him, and he said, if you cannot be entrusted with little things of this world, who is going to entrust to you the great things of the kingdom? The work of the church is a very delicate one. What God has called you and I to do is the most delicate job there is to do. Why? Because you are being entrusted with what? With people's souls. Because the Bible says, it says, fear not him who can kill the body. It says, fear who? Who can kill
the body and the soul. That is the greatest. He said, for what shall it profit a man if he loses the whole of this world? I mean, if he gains the whole of this world and loses his soul. In other words, the Bible is saying that the soul of a man is more important than the whole of this world. And if God chooses that he wants to commit people's soul into your hand, that is the height of responsibility. Because what God is committing to your hand is greater than the whole world put together. Because for every soul that repents, the Bible says there's what? There's great rejoicing. For every car you buy, there's no rejoicing in heaven. We rejoice. We pray for you. For every house you build, there is no rejoicing in heaven. We will pray for you. We thank God on your behalf. For every trouser, every shirt you buy, there's no rejoicing in heaven. But for every soul that you win, for every soul that you cause to stay in the church and hear the word of God and makes it to heaven, there's a great rejoicing. And the Bible tells me in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, it said, for those who bring people to the way of salvation will shine like what? Like stars. You will shine like stars because the record of heaven will be opened and will approve of you. For everyone you take to the way of perdition, to the way of destruction, heaven bears you record. There will be no rejoicing on your behalf in heaven. For everyone you encourage, for everyone you take their burden upon yourself to pray for, there is record in heaven. Who is applauding you? Ask your neighbor, who is applauding you? Is it just your wife? Is it just your husband? Is it just your neighbor? Is heaven applauding you? Heaven will applaud you today in Jesus' name. If heaven has not been applauding you before, from today, heaven will begin to applaud you. Because you cannot, you will not be here, and heaven will not applaud you. We have to go to heaven together. Say, we have to go to heaven together. Ah. In Jesus' mighty name. Like I told us, the file is closed when a man is dead. We can alter it again. And you know what? You have not made it until you die. That's why the Bible says, beware those who think they stand. Lest there's a falling, lest you fall. And then once one dies, it becomes indelible, cannot be altered. The records are reviewed. That's a hint. Heaven is reviewing your record even right now. And you can make a change. And you can make it count. Again, it's like a bank account. What you get depends on what you put inside. The anointing, the unction of God upon your life depends on what is there. We have a choice today. We have a choice today. And let me tell you something. If all of us, we make up our mind that heaven is where we are going, and that the record of heaven is what matters to us. The miracles we pray for, we will not even pray for them anymore. People who have not known the Lord, when they come into our midst, they are going to be electrified. Healing will take place in their lives even before we say it. Who is applauding you? Heaven will applaud you in Jesus' name. Can we just rise on our feet, please? Let's rise on our feet. Let us rise on our feet. Thank you, Jesus. We just worship you. We give you all the glory. Can you just give glory to God? Just worship him. Just bless the name of the Lord. Magnify the Lord with me. Just say he's a good God. He is true. His record, he bears a true record.
He is such a wonderful God. He is just. In him, there is no unfaithfulness. There is no darkness at all. He is light. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. If you are in the house this morning, you want me to pray for you or pray with you, whether you are sick in your body or there is an area of your life you want God to shine the light of heaven to, can you just come out right now? We have 5 minutes. You can see I'm very conscious of time. It's exactly 12:30. We have only 5 minutes. And I will pray with you. You just come out right now and let me pray with you. We have just 5 minutes to pray. You are in the house. You know that it doesn't have to be physical problem. It doesn't have to be physical sickness. It could be spiritual sickness. It could be sickness in your spiritual life. And you just know that if heaven is to open your record right now, you are not where you ought to be. Can you just come out and I will pray with you? I have 5 minutes to do that. Please come out. Let me pray with you. Maybe your business is not going the way you want it to go. Come out and I will pray with you. Let your living water flow over my soul. Let the Holy Spirit come and take control. Every there's a release of your hand to wrought great and mighty things in the lives of your people. Father, your Son has not come out to man, but unto you. Even at this hour, let the hand of heaven be free on your behalf now, in Jesus' name. That area of your life, the searchlight of heaven is upon it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. That you can never be the same again. The Lord will put a word of testimony upon your lips. You are going to sing his praise once again. Because he is Jehovah Sabaoth. And the host of heaven is at your disposal. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. I just give you all the glory and all the praise. Thank you because you are a mighty God. You are the great I am. Cover your daughter from head to toe and anoint her afresh with the blood of Jesus. And I speak to every cell of your body and I order them to come into total obedience to the power and the glory of God. Even at this hour, in the mighty name of Jesus, let everything come into total obedience now. Begin to fall into place. Be obedient to the word of God. You are healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. I speak the word of life into your life. That the Lord
grant you the desire of your heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your glory. We trust in your ability, Lord. We call into attention every area of the life of your son. Right now, in Jesus' name, you cannot be the same again. Because the glory of God will come out from heaven upon you right now. There is a gulf between you and the struggles of your life. There is a separation from today in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just worship you. I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. And the whole church, I want us to just quickly speak to the Lord and say, Father, from today, let heaven bear me record that I am of you. Begin to pray to the Lord. Let heaven bear me record that I am of you. That everything about your life will be a record, will receive approval from heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. Begin to speak to the Lord. Begin to speak to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because heaven, you will be a record that these ones have been called out, Ecclesia. They've been called out for you. And they have come in obedience to you. And they have lived in obedience to you. Therefore, they cannot be condemned. And the glory and your glory will be upon their lives all the days of their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, they live a life that is approved of heaven from today, henceforth, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. We just worship you. We give you praise. We give you all the glory and all the honor. They belong only to you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray. Can we share the grace in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and our sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.